Gracious Father in heaven, this is a very exciting morning. For I have felt the Spirit here since Sunday night, and I feel it even more dramatically today. For these are a gifted group of people that you have brought together to minister in this vineyard area. And to be a part of this, Lord, is a privilege and honor. I thank you. I praise you. And now I don't want to fail you. For they have come to be fed. And the only words, the only bread that lasts for eternity are your words. So speak through me, Lord, and use me in spite of me. And teach us all how we can love these kids and help them to be faithful Seventh-day Adventists in the last days of Hearst history at a difficult time. So pour out your Spirit. Reveal yourself to us. And we will give you the praise and the honor and glory. And we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Do you need that? Oh, I thought you'd get a kick out of this. That's my little nephew coming out the back door of our garage. Have you ever seen snow like that around here? To give you a little more perspective, there he's coming out by the car and you can see how big that snow drift was. It took me 4 days to get it out of there. That was last winter. I hate the snow. And this is for our conference president and his crew who have come today just to show my family. You've all seen it already. That's my two teenage boys and my wife, my sweet wife, Jenny, and myself. You know, we've been here. And here's something I want to show you. This is 14, 13, 21, 20, 17, 16. Just finished a series of meetings in New Albany, Indiana, and baptized 10 people. This is the capability of our young people when we begin to train them and put trust in them. That's what you're doing. We need you. By the way, I showed you my nephew. His mother used to live with us. We sent her to the academy. She became a Seventh-day Adventist. When it was time to go to college, we arranged for her to go to Union College. And at the last minute, she went back to New York where her mother was. And the next thing we heard, she was married. And after 10 years, her husband left her. And she moved back in with us with the little nephew, and we sent him to the church school. And that little boy from the streets of New York just shined in the church school. Thank you. He's baptized now. And he's attending a church school now down in Florida as a seventh grader. That's the service and ministry that you did for me and my wife and our niece who's back in the church. So I want you to know this is very important what you're up to. We've got to start training. By the way, I'm way off the subject. You know, we quote to the kids all the time out of the book Education. Army of Youth, we tell them. And we often gloss over the words rightly trained. Guess who is the ones that are supposed to be training them? Yeah, we are. And then we send them out. And when we do, things happen because people can't believe that teenagers dress like that and do those kind of things. So, number one, the spiritual side of teaching was part one, and we found out that spirituality in the Bible is defined by having the mind of Jesus. And we concluded the only way you can have the mind of Jesus is by spending time with Jesus. That's right. Okay. Number two, the integrity side of teaching. We found out that the definition of integrity is, and I like the one in the middle there the most, morally innocent. And the only way you can possibly be morally innocent is by what? Spending time with Jesus. In prayer on your knees. And today we're looking at the humility side of teaching. I chose for my text Proverbs 15:33. It says, "The fear of the Lord is the instruction for wisdom, and before honor comes what? Humility." And by the way, I found it interesting that phrase, "and before honor comes humility," is repeated twice in the book of Proverbs. It's also in Proverbs 18, I believe. I have to look it up. I admit that. But that's been repeated twice there. This humility is very important. The definition in the Hebrew is condescension. Human and subjective modesty, or divine and objective clemency. Gentleness, humility, meekness. Let's take a look at Matthew 11, 28 through 30. Take your Bibles and turn there with me as we look at this humility side of teaching. Matthew 11, we're kind of practicing that here, I think. I tell you, when I was a teacher, I thought it was neat when we had in-services on school time. Especially in a place like this. I liked it. Okay, do you have it? We want to start with verse 28 here. It's very familiar to all of us, isn't it? What does it say? Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your soul. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Let's look at this just for a moment as we look at the humility side of teaching. First, come to me. And if you do, I will give you rest. Take my yoke instead of your yoke upon you, and learn of me. For I am meek and lowly, and in that you will find rest. Because my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. I want you to notice, to me, what stands out prominently in this passage of Scripture is Jesus said, "I am meek and lowly." You know, you folks in the teaching profession have run into some very proud and arrogant parents, board members, maybe even pastors that have made your life miserable. As a minister in this church, I'm astounded at the pride I run into when Jesus said, "I am meek and lowly in heart." What a contrast to what we see in what our Savior, who we purport to worship and believe, is. And I want to plead with your teachers to endure the onset of the enemy in your profession, the closer you are to Jesus, the more you will endure and the more you'll succeed and conquer. Jesus said, "I am meek and lowly." Now let's look at those words. "I am meek," he said. In the Greek, that's praus. It means gentle, humble, meek. And when Jesus said that, praus in the Greek, That is the very same word of Matthew 5:5. What does Matthew 5:5 say? Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Now, I don't care how professional you are and accomplished in your ministry as teacher. And by the way, you should be professional and accomplished. But never be proud, no matter what wall comes up against you and how unfair it may be. Because Jesus said, I am meek. And from His own mouth He preached, blessed are the meek. They're the ones that will conquer. And the only way you can be meek, humble, how? Spending time with Jesus. I am lowly. That word is tapenos. Depressed. That is figuratively humiliated, base, cast down, humble, low degree, lowly. And turn with me to 1 Peter and notice what 1 Peter says about this word. I like this because in 1 Peter 5:5 he uses both these words. He says, you younger men likewise be subject to your elders, and all of you clothe yourself with humility towards one another, for God is opposed to the proud, but He gives grace to the tapenos. I am meek and lowly. I want you to look at Philippians 2, 1 through 5, and especially highlight verse 3 and 8. Here's our challenge today. And by the way, when you read this, oh, how I wish my church members would read this too. And you as teachers wish your board members and some of your parents would read this. But they don't. Not all of them. If therefore there is any encouragement in Christ, if there is any consolation of love, if there is any fellowship of the Spirit, if any affection and compassion, make my joy complete by being the same mind, maintaining the same love, united in spirit, intent on one purpose, do nothing from selfishness or empty conceit, but with humility of mind, tapenos. Let each one of you regard the other as more important than himself. Do not merely look out for your own personal interests, but also the interests of others. And I stop there because those are difficult words, but Paul is begging the people of Ephesus to live this way. And then he reminds us of the motivation. He says, then, in verse number 5, have this mind in you, which was also in Christ. And now we go back to spirituality again. Remember, having the mind of Christ. Paul says, you can only do this if you have the mind of Christ. And then he goes on to explain, who, although existed in the form of God, did not regard equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself, taking the form of a bondservant and being made in likeness of man, and being found in the appearance of man, he tapenos himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. The only way we can be humble, and blessed are the humble, is by spending time with Jesus and looking how he humbled himself. In fact, Ellen White says something really interesting. I love this. This is one of my very favorite quotes, and I want to highlight two things in this one quote, Acts of the Apostles 56. Ellen White says, "Behold the love of God." And you can tell by the way she reads it, because she puts an exclamation point at the end of that short little sentence. I want you to look at this. I try to comprehend. Come to grips with this. Well, what is this? The Son of God in prayer to His Father. Does that boggle your mind? By the way, we were sitting at a table a couple nights ago talking about the moral influence theory that some say that Jesus didn't have to die a substitutionary death. He just died as a good moral person, giving us a good example to urge us on. Which doesn't cut it for me, because you see, my God was my substitute. Which means He's incredible. He's like no other God. Do you understand that every other religion in this world teaches that you have to seek God? It is only our Christian religion that teaches we have a God that seeks you. Doesn't that blow your mind? It does mine. Behold, He stands at the door and knocks. President Bush has never come to my door and knocked. Never. And He's not going to. Behold the Son of God bowed in prayer to His Father. Though He is the Son of God, He strengthens His what? Faith by prayer and by communion with heaven gathers Himself to Himself. What? To do two things. To resist evil and to minister to the needs of men. The humility side of teaching calls for us to set aside time every day to humble ourselves in the sight of the Lord. And if you do, He will lift you up. Father in heaven, thank You again for making so simple the task before us, because the task is difficult. Help us to practice the simple so that we can accomplish the divine. And thank You that You cooperate with us the way You do to make it all possible. Lord, don't let these teachers be discouraged. Even if they don't feel appreciated, may they know that every time they stand to teach, angels surround them. You're proud of them. They're doing the work You would do if You were here. You interrupted some of the most important interviews when children came running towards You, as if those adults weren't even around. And I pray that the success of the Washington Conference Church Schools will only increase and multiply as Your coming is sooner and sooner. So bless to this day, bless all the speakers. What a power-packed day is planned, just like the beautiful day yesterday, that qualify us to really advocate for these kids. And to love them, and to trust them, and to train them to be sons and daughters of God. And we thank You for hearing our prayer, because we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
You have been listening to another special American Cassette Ministries presentation. This is a digital recording for optimum sound quality. International copyright 2007. All rights reserved. To order a copy of this or other presentations, or for a free catalog, please call toll-free 1-800-233-4450. International calls dial 717-652-7000. You may also order from our secure website at www.americancassette.org. There you will discover the largest selection of genuine Adventist preaching available. American Cassette Ministries is not a one-man band. It's an orchestra of outstanding speakers who are all on the same theological page. You can trust ACM. There is no compromise here. If American Cassette Ministries has been a blessing to you, why not take a moment just now and send us a note or an email with your testimony? We'll share it with the speakers and volunteer workers to encourage them. Your prayers and continued financial support are very important to ensure the continuation of this ministry as we help prepare America and the world to meet Jesus Christ. He's coming soon.